just in time for Valentine's Day, a love story. But it ends with such a broken heart. Or does it? It's the story of Danny Gregory, author and artist, executive creative director of a large ad agency, McGarry Bowen. His graphic books like Hello World and An Illustrated Journey catalog his life. His latest tells the story of his wife, Patty, how they met cute, had a child, settled in Greenwich Village, and then she had the accident that anyone else would call tragic, but we have to save that word for the next accident that befalls Danny's wife and takes her life. His memoir of their love and loss is told through a perfect prism, his often raw, ink-splotted, gritty graphic art and handwriting. And Danny Gregory joins us from the Argo Studios in New York. Danny, welcome, and I just have to say I'm just so sorry for your loss.
Thank you.
Yeah. Start at the beginning, because as we said, you made it a bar. You walk Patty home. She tells you, nothing's happening here. Move along.
Right. I'm not her type. So that to me was a challenge. So I had to persevere and convince her otherwise.
You put up a sign on her building?
I did. I put up a sign that said, if you've regained your sense of humor, please get in touch with me, which fortunately she did.
Yep.
And the rest was history.
You have the dogs and a funky wedding and a little boy, Jack, in that order. And then the first call comes from the police.
I was at work when the police called me and said that there had been an accident. Patty had fallen onto the subway tracks. A train had rolled over her. Mm-hmm. It had broken her back, and she was paralyzed from the waist down. She was paraplegic. My son was 10 months old at the time. You know, her life changed really in a minute that morning.
So did yours. But what a life she creates. You know, she straps that little boy to her lap. She puts platforms on the wheelchair for the dogs. You know, she whips around New York. I found myself thinking, wow. I mean, you know, we know people are in wheelchairs in New York, but she really got around.
She didn't let anything stop her. At one point, she was mentoring a girl in the South Bronx, which is about 5 miles from her home, and she went in her chair all the way there to help her.
Often when there's this kind of catastrophe, you know, it drives couples apart. It sounds like you fell more deeply in love. I mean, it had to be a tough, rough passage, but it sounds like you fell deeper.
This had happened to us. It hadn't really just happened to her. You know, this was our life, and it had suddenly changed. So it never occurred to me to not continue down this road that we were now on.
So then fast forward 14 years. The second call comes, the police telling you to go to the same hospital, St. Vincent's. This was gobsmacking. Oh.
It was so similar, so eerie. But I had a foreshadowing. I don't know. There was something that told me that it was even worse as I headed to the hospital. And the fact that the doctor came out to talk to me so quickly, you know, made it obvious to me that this wasn't anything but a final answer. And it was. She had died. Almost instantly. She had been trying to water the flowers on our terrace. We live on the 8th floor. And as she reached out the window, she lost her balance, fell out of her wheelchair, out of the window, and fell to the ground below, where she died, hopefully instantly.
I mean, that's just, what are the words? You know, kick in the gut? It's just mind-boggling. How do you take that in?
I think it probably took me a while to even understand it. I just remember telling my son about it, and he just kept saying, no way, no way, no way. That was his response. I think inside of me, I was saying the same thing. I guess I reacted sort of similarly to the way I had the first time, which was, we've got to get on with it. We've got to do something about this. It was almost like springing into action seemed to be my answer, and that I could wait to feel something. It didn't take long for it to hit me, and it did hit me in these huge waves, you know, so no matter what I did, it would overwhelm me. I had no control over that.
Yeah. We see that in not just the pictures. I mean, they just become phantasmagorical when you're trying to explain these feelings, these blobs of color on the page. But your handwriting, there's one page where it looks as if you're trying to express what was happening inside your head because all the letters are double.
That was the page which I described the actual events of that day, and it just did seem to me like that, like it was unreal, like it was, my mind was out of focus, and the words sort of became out of focus as well, like reverberating somehow inside of me.
Yeah. Then you take us through your, you know, crawling out of this thing you've fallen into and trying to do all the things that she did, you know, make lunch for the little guy. What side do you sleep on in the bed? Do you ever migrate over to her side? Oh, but wait, there you look out the window, that window. How much did this throwing color down on paper, what impact did that have on you?
It's funny, right before she died, my journal was in black and white. But Patty loved color. And so when I started keeping my journal after she died, I wanted to be everything in color. I wanted to have the brightest colors, particularly pink. That was her favorite color. This sort of need that I had to make art at this point was because there were a lot of things that I couldn't say in words. So I felt like I needed to record these things that seemed significant and full of beauty still, because that's ultimately what I was taking away from this experience, was that life is still beautiful. Patty had pointed that out to me time and again. Despite the fact that this terrible thing had happened to her, she always looked on the bright side. She was always chipper, as she would say.
You also had an online community. Your book, Everyday Matters, created this online community of people who draw every day and share it with each other.
Yes, because I had started drawing for the first time after Patty's first accident. I was in my mid-30s. I hadn't drawn since I was in grade school. But I felt this need again to record my life in drawing. So I started doing it then. Before long, other people grew interested in the same thing, and that's where that first book came out of, was my explaining how Patty's accident had driven me to draw. It was great to have them to talk to. You know, there were people who had also had loss as well. But what we all had in common was this need to make art, and to make a very particular kind of art, which is this illustrated journal, recording your life, recording the things that matter to you. It was difficult for me, frankly, to share a lot of this stuff. It's obviously, it's intimate, it's painful. But I feel like I wish I had read this book when Patty was still alive. You know, One reader wrote to me and she said, "I've been a lot nicer to my husband since I read your book." So I thought, well, that's a service of kind. But, you know, the need to sort of say to people, life goes on if you let it.
Yeah. These accidents are, they're just so... They seem so unfair. You'd be forgiven for shaking your fist at the heavens.
That's what happened to me initially, and that's what drove me to drawing, honestly. I mean, at first I went and looked for answers, you know, why has God done this to us kind of thing. And I realized after a while that there wasn't going to be an answer, but that the answer instead was going to be, make the most of what you have left. Don't let the implications of it bother you. And the way out of it was to look for beauty, but not to be delusional, but to be observant and to see how much there still is that matters in life. I have so many great memories of her. And I have our son who's, you know, a fantastic kid. I mean, it sounds simplistic, but that's been what's driven me a lot.
That's Danny Gregory. His book is A Kiss Before You Go, an illustrated memoir of love and loss after the death of his wife, Patty. It's quite something. Danny, thanks so much for talking to us about it.
Thank you, Robin.
Okay, before we go today, we want to welcome our new listeners on Cape Cod, the islands, and the south coast of Massachusetts, 92.7 WBUA, Martha's Vineyard. I'm looking at Allison Shaw's picture of a skiff in today's Vineyard Gazette. Oh, beautiful. What a privilege to be in your community. Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI. I'm Robin Young. Please join us to see what this week brings. Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software. Find over 200 job openings at mathworks.com.
PRI, Public Radio International.
I'm Robin Young. Join us next time for the news and these stories here and now. Ahead of the President's State of the Union address, job growth, a huge challenge. What's the view like for employers and workers? Also, from a jam session in a dorm room with John Mayer to fronting her own band, fiddler Carrie Rodriguez. That's Public Radio's Daily Digest of News and Culture, Here and Now.